Thank you, Councilwoman. Are there any... Thank you. Are there any other questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as we all just witnessed, the Finance Committee chose not to hold off on the council, suspend the council rules for the 10 minutes. With that being said, I am also expecting the council to adhere to Rule 20, which says any citizen of the city of Warwick may be heard on any docketed resolution or ordinance. So respectfully requesting that this council adhere to that council rule.
So I will answer that. We have always, during the committee, opened up the discussion and the questions to the committee, to the council, and to the public, as has been our routine and practice for many years, and that will not change this evening. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Now, so a few points that I have. I think there's value engineering. I think this is something that it's been misused, it's misleading to the public, and it's not what it was intended for back in the 40s, when I think it was General Electric that came up with value engineering. What we're seeing here now is literally a reduction in the scope of work. This is project reduction. The square footage of the buildings have changed. The ceiling heights have changed. We've eliminated tennis courts. We've eliminated courtyards. Bleachers have been reduced. Auditorium sizes have come down. And the amount of seats, the sports fields. Now, you can say, well, you know, this was explained, it was constructed. There was a very hard sell job done at these public meetings. The public was heavily influenced upon, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to have solar panels on the roofs, we're going to have better sports fields, we're going to have more of this, we're going to have more of that, we're going to have bigger auditoriums, we're going to have bigger rooms, it's going to be brighter, the ceiling's going to be higher. And that's what they were told. Now we come back. As a matter of fact, about a month after the election, when the voters voted for this bond, I think it was less than a month later, the school department came back, it was in the Beacon, and said, we think we're going to revisit this. We have a problem with the numbers. I was telling everyone long before then that there was a problem with the numbers. This report from Alana is particularly concerning to me because we spent $85,000 to have this report produced. 85 grand. Basically, it was a simple math calculation. And yes, I did vote for it. In this revaluation, it's right here in Alana's report that items not considered in this estimate, furniture, overtime, work outside normal hours, no permits or permit fees, third-party commissioning costs, owner supplied, air quality monitoring. That's another thing that I just skipped over. So initially, one of the big pushes for these schools was, we got to have 21st century buildings. We got to have air-conditioned buildings. Well, there's a difference between air conditioning and dehumidifying. There's a big difference. And as you see in the changes in the price, there's a big difference. And I think that's a pretty important item. The other concern that I have is, how can anyone expect me or anyone else to buy into your formulas? I'm going to say you. Let me back up. It's not the school department. It's Ilana. Ilana's forecasts and projections, numbers, when the math doesn't even work. I'm looking right now at Ilana's cost summary for Pilgrim High School. And I didn't go through every one of the numbers because I got disgusted and just decided to forget it. If you look at the square footage prices that they have calculated, there are errors in the math on practically every one of them. So $11.19 a square foot. It doesn't come out to $2,597,000. It comes out to $2,599,000. Now, one might say, okay, so you know, you're complaining about nickels and dimes. No, it's not nickels and dimes in totality, because I've gone through probably half of this list, and the math is wrong. The changes that have occurred from the 2022 project summary are like, I don't get it. I don't understand how this even occurs. Because as an example, the Pilgrim School general requirements, this is from the school department. This is the document 2022. It has general requirements, $2,913,467. But yet, Ilana has $572,100. I think that's a bit of a difference. It has existing conditions. The 2022 summary says existing conditions, $161,900. Ilana has $2,597,000. And that just continues. I'm not going to keep spinning
Councilman,
my wheels.
Councilman, I can't speak to anything.
I'm not asking you to speak. I'm putting out the information that I think is pertinent to the taxpayers in this city. This report has more than its share of errors and discrepancies. I don't see in this report, maybe if someone here is from Ilana, maybe they can point it out to me. I don't see where there's winter heating calculated into this report. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. I've looked through it several times. But yet in the 2022 report that the school department put out, there's $73,221 of winter heating costs. I don't see snow plowing in Ilana's estimate. In 2022, $30,492. I don't see a fire watch detail in Ilana's estimate. 2022, $83,319. This is a great concern. It is a great financial concern to me that the scope of work has changed significantly. This is far beyond value engineering. Value engineering is kind of, okay, let me get a little support on why we're going to change the game plan and why we're going to change the bill of goods. But yet we still expect that everyone's going to just go along with that and that they're going to approve it. This isn't what we were told. This isn't what we were sold. I don't believe that Ilana has included somewhere in excess of $11 million in underwriting. I don't believe that's included. So even as we sit here tonight, we don't have all of the numbers. In some cases, we don't even have accurate numbers. And a perfect analogy, I posted an analogy. It wasn't as good as the one that someone else posted. And it's compared to, you agree with a contractor to buy a house of 5,000 square feet. Four bedrooms. You're going to have three bathrooms. You're going to have a swimming pool. You agree to buy this. You say, okay, fine. I'm going to buy it. I sign on. Let's do it. When you give me the keys to the house, you say, oh, by the way, we had to value engineer this rascal because we couldn't do it for the $500,000 that we told you. So instead of 5,000 square foot, we're going to give you 3,500. We're going to give you three bedrooms and two baths. That's the deal. That's what you got. That is wrong. I will not support this at all. Totally off the grid with it. And as you know, I've been saying that from day one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other comments from members of the council? Councilman Sinapi.
So just a note on the error issue. If you look at some of the documentation, it uses different types of square footage for various parts. So in the actual, when it breaks it out into more detailed formula in the figures, you'll see square footage, gross square footage. And so you got to use the right figures when you're going through it, because otherwise it will result in errors. And it doesn't mean that what Councilman Lattiser found is incorrect, because it's still, he still might be absolutely valid, but make sure if you're going through and you're trying to verify that you're looking at the more detailed portion, because if you just use the summary part, you'll be only multiplying by gross footage and it's going to throw everything off.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any comments or questions from members of the Councilman?
When we're presented with a summary, aren't we, or don't we have the right to expect that summary to be accurate? I think so. In the business world, it better be accurate, because if you have a CFO passing you off numbers that are not accurate, you're going to have an unemployed CFO. So this cost summary, the average citizen who has an opportunity to look at this, they're not going to go through 200 or 300 or 400 pages of stuff. They're going to look at the summary, because the summary is supposed to summarize everything. It's supposed to bring you into the real scope of what the actual numbers are. And we have a right, the taxpayers have a right for numbers to be accurate. And Mr. Chairman, they're not. They're not, and they haven't been accurate. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman Gebhardt.
I have a few questions for the finance director. Director Schaefer, I appreciate your summary of the fiscal note earlier. I was wondering if we could just step through it. So I am, you have that there with you?
Fine. The adjustments to the fiscal note is what you're looking for?
I am looking at the original fiscal note.
Okay. Well, let's start with the disclosure that the city did before the voters voted on this.
Sure.
And had we had a lower interest rate environment at the time, not much lower, but a little bit lower. And we had projected the annual debt service on the the city's share of the $350 million would be $11.9 million. We've got better information on what part of that 350 million the state will share in reimbursement. We've got better interest rate information now. We've got better better understanding of pay as you go, and a better understanding. And by the way, Lynn, the treasurer, and I were working on this, and we both agreed the state program is too complicated now. When I was here the first time back in the 90s, it was simple. You came up with your $300 million. They told you what percentage. Now they've got incentives. They've got PAYGO. They've got what qualifies, what doesn't qualify. You know, it's a nightmare. So that's my one politics for the night. The program's too complicated. It doesn't have to be. I think some school district 10 years ago built a Taj Mahal for an elementary school. So all of a sudden they decided they had to overlook at everything.
Well, it wasn't Warwick.
All right. So no, it wasn't Warwick. So in any event, with updated information, dealing with the state and others, and with the interest rates, I get to, instead of 11.9 million annual cost for debt service, net the city, what the city share is, I got to $13.4 million.
Great. Right.
That was the thrust of the fiscal note. Then the second part went on to the Alana report. And I spent a lot of time looking at it. I thought it was a pretty good report, but I didn't think the executive summary was very good. That was the problem, tying into the numbers from the detail. And then that's when we got to their estimates. And I understand there hasn't been real design. They're just looking at, you know, how big everything is going to be, all this kind of stuff. They got to a figure before, including some value engineering estimated in it, at $22 million more than what the baseline we were working with. So that's part of the fiscal note. Then today, after dealing with the state, made a good suggestion, because we've seen a couple of other communities go longer than 20 years. We've been doing 20 years bonds. It's the common thing. But the resolution you passed and the General Assembly approved allows up to 30-year bonds. So that decreases the annual cost. The incentive reimbursement is now 55% instead of 52.5%, which is what we were dealing with earlier. But when the state bond passed, that increased. So that's why I get down to a lower number of $12.6 million. And then I also gave you what it would be net debt service cost, responsibility of the city, if we did 25-year bonds or 30-year bonds. At 25-year bonds, that $12.6 million figure comes down to $11.3 million. With 30-year bonds, it comes down a year instead of $12.6 million. But the total cost that you're paying over the 50 years is like $50 million more for 30-year bonds. But it reduces your annual cost. It reduces your
Excuse me, can we keep decorum, please?
So that's...
Thank you.
Thank you for that introduction. All right, so my question is, if we just go to your table on page 2, can you just take us through your project cost? So
you're talking the $350 million at the top. Yes.
Yes.
And that's the baseline that we were working with. Then you take out the $23.4 million, which is the amount that the state is going to be paying. It to deduct that from the $350 million you can borrow. That's the way the law reads. So that gets you down to $326.6 million.
But, Director, can we start at the top, at the project costs?
Which column now?
So we can start at the 350. So yeah. So obviously we've passed a bond referendum for 350,000.
Yeah.
And we've seen estimates that are in the range of, you know, the earlier Colliers, you know, 133 for Pilgrim, 140 and change for Tollgate. And then we've seen the refresh from Alana, both of them around 150. So take us through the 350 and then the additive of the additional 22 million.
All right, so if you go to, I hope we're looking at the same table.
I think we are, yeah.
All right, so you go to the 350, then you add $22.1 million, which is after dealing with Alana and one of the architects working on this, I'm comfortable with that number. That gets you to $372.10 million. Then you've got the pay-go, $48 million. On the new part, if you're over, the state approved $314.6 million. They're not going to, if the costs are $22 million higher, as where we stand now, they're not going to pay any reimbursement on any additional costs. It's going to be 0% reimbursement an additional cost of $22 million. And I get to, in my corrected table, I get to, if we were able to borrow that money at prevailing interest rates, and I've got interest rates a little bit higher than what we just sold bond September 13, a little bit higher. Reserve has not stopped on the trajectory, especially on the short end of the yield curve. And there's going to be rating pressure if we're going to be borrowing this money. And we go through a detailed, every time we sell bonds, the mayor's involved, I'm involved, we're involved in their analysts rating our, and they're concerned about, with us, they're concerned about post-employment liabilities, pension, OPEB. They're also concerned about how much debt you're going to, and this is a big chunk of debt we're talking about. So I'm concerned that there's going to be, the ratings challenges are going to be significant going forward if we decide to proceed on this. So I've left it at what we were assuming. You remember when we had the meeting back in May, when we you passed a resolution urging the General Assembly to change the funding method to allow reimbursement before project
on
completion.
On the short term.
Yes, I'm using the same interest rate assumption, 4.32%. Could be better than that. And we were just sale a week and a half ago. So that the $22 million, if we were able to borrow either by using the $56 million, by going back to the voters, or some other method, I have that as another $1.7 million a year amortized over 20 years.
20 cents.
So if we go back to your project costs of the original 350 plus the 22 from Alana to 372.10.
Yeah.
Are there any interest costs built into that? Are there any other costs beyond the direct building costs built into that number?
You know, all I'm doing is I'm taking $22 million and looking at what our annual debt service would be on borrowing $22.1 million at the 4.3% interest rate and assuming 20 years. The number would drop down a little bit if we did 25 years or 30 years, as I suggested on the baseline, the $350 million baseline.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions or comments?
I have questions for the director, please.
I'm sorry, Councilman. We're trying to get to the public. You had the 10 minutes, and I'd like to get to the public.
I didn't have an opportunity to ask questions to the director.
I think you did have an opportunity. You chose to make a statement those 10 minutes. So,
well, now he just spoke again, so I have more
Councilman,
questions.
Councilman, per your request, per your reminder, and per my reminder to you, it is now the public's opportunity to speak. So I am going to give the public the opportunity to speak. We as council people have the right to talk about this again during the council meeting. I want to give the public the opportunity to ask questions.
So members of this council don't have an opportunity to ask Mr. Schaefer questions on what he just testified to. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is you had the opportunity and you used those 10 minutes to speak.
He didn't make those comments until just
done,
now.
Councilman, I'm done. I'm going to give the members of the public the opportunity to ask questions, speak. When we are in the regular council meeting, you may ask any further questions you may have. Is there any members of the public? I ask that you please identify with your name. Please come up and you may identify with your name.
Hi, Cindy Wilson. So Mr. McAllister, I read your letter to the editor in the Warwick Beacon where you stated that you were in favor of the school construction project. So I assume that you read the Alana report thoroughly. Yes or no?
Are you, who are you directing that question to?
Mr. McAllister.
Council President?
Yes, I read the report.
So you do realize that this vote is going to indebt this city for generations, and you have publicly stated that you are in favor of the project. So I assume that you do know all the different changes that in the Alana proposal, because you have read it, so you could list them for us?
Ma'am, at this time, we are here to listen to your concerns or your interest on this, so you can your thoughts on this, but this is not a time. I'm not going to be answering questions. You can
I'll take that for a no. So here's my concern. My concern is that you guys don't know. And listening to the finance director, I mean, I think Ashton Kutcher is going to come out and we're being pumped. I mean, he really sounded more negative than I feel about it. He was like, no, we can't. I don't know why. I'm not sure why. I don't know why we did that. I don't know what that adds up to. And that was dismal at best. And so, Mr. McAllister, perhaps you'll honor me with this answer. Would you agree that the original design that was publicized and promoted by the school department is very different than what we voted on?
Excuse me, Mr. President. Ma'am, if I could ask, this is to speak for or against.
Well, I'm curious as to what he knows.
I'd like to finish my statement. If you would,
thank you.
If you would like to ask your council person who represents you these questions, feel free. But this is a bringing up concerns, questions to the developers or to the school department. This is not a gotcha moment. It's not intended to be a gotcha
moment. I'm not gotcha. This is a got us moment.
Well, it's gotcha.
It's a got us moment. Isn't the president?
It got you. It's a gotcha moment when you are trying, when someone doesn't answer your question, you say, well, then obviously you don't know.
Well, because if I didn't answer, it would be because I don't know. I guess I'm basing that on somebody with some brains. Mr. Lattister is my council person.
Perfect.
Is he not my president? Is he not the president of the city council? So I can't
answer him. Question about the school construction. Or do you or an opinion of the school construction, releasing the bonds?
Yes.
Thank you.
My comment is that I believe you should table this till everybody knows the answers, especially the finance director. I mean, don't you see how I'm 67 years old. This is going to, I'll be dead before this is paid for. I don't have a kid in the school, but I want great schools for kids, but I know this. I know that if you're a real estate agent, you don't sell someone a house based on the schools. Isn't it great? Look at the play yard. You do it based on the education that we give the kids. So you know, I think that that's what's more important. Thank you. Not that we have brand new schools. I mean, you know, we should table this out of respect for the constituents. You guys should table this. Can't you see how many people don't want it? And those are the people that came out in the horrible rain. Those are the people. There are many people that don't. There are many Facebook groups that speak against this. They can't afford this. I was at a meeting where a lady was crying, say that she would lose her house. She's on a fixed income. I'm on a fixed income. I rent a room out in my house so I can pay my mortgage now. What am I going to do? Build a shed and rent it out? I mean, this is just crazy. And if you guys have any respect for the citizens of Warwick, you will table this, and you will table it now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good evening.
Ann Sheridan. So I guess I'm going to continue with that same line of thought. Have we looked, no, not how. How have you looked at the 10-year, 20-year payback for the taxpayers? It's expensive, and you know the finance director is saying the debt's only, you know, $10 or $12 million a year. That's fine. That's probably $2 on the tax rate. He's already said we've got another $2 on the tax rate, and how much more? There's a lot of unfunded liabilities that need to be made up, and there's a lot of things that go into figuring out where our taxes are going to go. And God forgive me, but I never thought I'd say this. I'm a senior citizen, and there's a lot of, and I'm really a senior citizen, and there's a lot of us like this, and I've argued on so many sides of this that it's not your responsibility to keep us in our houses, but it's your responsibility to budget effectively and efficiently and transparently. And I don't think we feel that there's much transparency in this. There's a lot of figures that have floated out, and I was quite appalled to think that a contractor wouldn't include demolition. I mean, I'm not a brain surgeon, but if you've got two schools that you're gonna redo, somebody's gonna demolish those damn schools. You know, it's like we're sucked into the buy one, get one. You go into CVS and there's all these sales, you buy one, 50% off, and God forgive me, and I'm sure a lot of people like me, you end up buying something you don't need. Sure, we need two schools. I mean, the kids are our future, and this Warwick needs a great future. Our kids are failing today. We've got 30% proficiency in English. We've got 22% proficiency in math. We're at the bottom third in the state for educational levels. East Greenwich is paying $18,500 for their kids to go to school. We're paying $24,000, and we're failing. It's miserable. We're failing miserably. It costs $15,600 to go to Hendricken. And we're paying $24,000. There's a problem with what's happening, and we need a new school. We maybe only need one school. And I know the council president said we shouldn't be talking about this, but let's be realistic. We need to talk about the future. And one single school could provide not only for the future expansion and new things that are going to be coming, it could make sure that we've got anticipating the downside in the growth, because people aren't having kids. The whole younger generation isn't having kids. We don't have any room in Warwick to build new plats, new apartments. I mean, you got the airport that's taken up the middle. We're not going to build new houses. All we've got is our that are going to build it. The commercial, historically commercial property pays less and less percentage of the property tax base. Every time you have a real estate, you have a revaluation, the homeowners pay a higher value, and the real estate, commercial real estate decreases. So the homeowners are going to be paying more and more and more. What's the right amount? I don't know, but this doesn't feel right. And maybe that's why people are complaining about it, because it just doesn't feel right. I mean, any commercial endeavor, somebody sits down with spreadsheets and they do 10, 15, 20 year analysis to prove that you can pay it. So either somebody's done that and they don't want to share with us, or we're just saying municipalities can't fail on bonds. So one way or the other, we're going to roll out the bonds, and who's ever here is going to pay the bill. I really think it would be in a lot of our best interest if we could all take a break and step back and look at this again and perhaps look at alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. First of all, I'm not sure how many people in this audience or on this committee, in this council, have been involved in school construction or project management meetings or pre-construction meetings, but I've been doing it for a very long time. And I'm going to tell you again when I told you a year ago, you will not build these schools for $350 million. It's out of the question. It will not happen. Let me just review a couple of errors that we found through the process. Let me regress by saying, if there's any council member in here that can't be honest with the people in this audience and say, yes, what we sold you is not what you're getting, you don't deserve to be an elected official. It's a yes, no question, Mr. McAllister. Mr. McAllister. Simple. Yes, no question. Would you agree that what was originally presented to these people is not what they're getting now? Can you answer that yes, no question, please?
I just want to let you know that this is your opportunity to be spoken.
Let the record show that he can't answer it, but that's no surprise. No surprise. So let's talk about the errors. The first error, when it was presented to the city council, actually before they didn't even have the documents on February 7th when they voted, But when I got the documents on the 1st of March, we found a $74 million error because the financial geniuses, they only amortized it out to $300 million, not $350. That was 6 months on the supplementary stage two document, which is in my hand, to show a $74 million error. And in the supplemental documents, what they failed to disclose to us originally was, guess what? There's an $11.7 million underwriting fee, $85.7 million in errors. Nobody caught. We had to. No problem, right? It's all going to go on time. Here's the letter from Kevin Putney, the senior cost estimator that sent this to the city council. Did anyone catch this error? Where he lists Pilgrim as 22,268 square feet? Anybody catch this? Did the administration catch it? Mr. Schaefer? Pilgrim's not 322,268 square feet. It's 232,000 square feet. So you get almost 100,000 square foot error from the senior cost estimator, notwithstanding the fact that every single itemized line item per cost per square foot is wrong. Every one. I do this. I'm involved in it every day. None of you people are. I can tell you this, in 27 years of building schools, one came in on time, on budget, one came in close. Presently now I'm involved in seven. Every single one of them dramatically cost overruns, dramatic. But here's what's more important. Let's look at common sense. Alana's estimate of $662 is a joke. We've just seen in the news, Central Falls value engineered their new high school. They're using the same trades, they're using the same products, same skill set. They're at $775 a square foot. Take the difference of $113 a square foot. You have a shortfall of $52.8 million. Third grade math. No one's doing it. $52.8 million shortfall. I said a year ago, and I said to Mr. Tester at the school committee meeting, there's no way you'll do this school for less than $382 million. And now we see you're going to use non-union labor? You have any idea what kind of strife that's going to cause? I can tell you because I talk to the trades on a regular basis. I mean, the errors are so massive that you have to stop and look at this again. You know, I just started a new school last Monday. Same group of people in Massachusetts. First thing on the job, first morning, they said, Rob, we value engineered the hell out of this school. What's value engineering mean? It means cost cutting, cheapen the product, cheapen the building. You know what the first thing to go is? Air conditioning, except in the teacher's lounge and in the administration office. Still getting air conditioning. That's the God's honest truth. I'll give you the documents. Anybody that wants the drawings, come and see me. I'll give them to you. First thing to go. What did I say, Mr. Lattisil? What did I say to you? And I said to people 6 months ago, the first thing they're going to cut out is AC. Boom, gone. So Ms. Danberg keeps talking about 21st century learning. Yeah, in a 19th century school. You know what else went just on this project? No masonry facade. We're going to use Dens glass and drive it. Think that's going to be a 50 or 60 year school? It's not. Look at the new school in Worcester. First was bid at 246, went to 297, now it's 335 million. They cut out all the solar. They cut out all alternative energy costs. None of them come in on time, on budget. This building will not come in. These schools will not come in on time or on budget. This estimate, by the way, under general requirements, it's really funny how they cut out 75% of the cost of the general requirements. And when you go through it, what have they cut out? They've cut out fees, superintendent fees, temporary heat, as Mr. Lattisaw told you, garbage removal, snowplow removal, porta-johns, electrical requirements, permitting. You know what else they cut out? They cut out special inspections. Does anyone know what special inspections are? That's where a third-party agency comes in and they check everything. Soils, geotechnical, concrete, grout. Masonry, welding, bolting, plumbing, they do all that third-party inspections, not contained within their estimates. Who are we going to have inspect it? Fred Flintstone? Have him come in? I have to tell you. Oh, and another thing. And I'll ask a question to whoever it may be, the school committee or Mr. Schaefer. Has the engineer of record been made aware of project cost estimates? Because obviously he's the person that's got to sign off. Can anyone answer that question if the EOR has been made aware of the estimates? Anybody? No? It's kind of disturbing. You don't know that? Does anyone know? Yes? No? Pardon me? I can't hear you.
Listen, can you do me a favor? If someone can speak to the microphone, please. Identify when you go up, and you can speak to the through the chair. Thank you.
Steve Gothberg, Director of Construction, School Department. What we have, Rob, is, Mr. Cody, is we have a team that did the stage one, stage two. We do not move forward other than that unless we receive the bond. And the teams comes together and we actually design the building.
Well, you do have a first, on your stage two document, you do have a letter from the engineer of record from O'Day Engineers.
I couldn't hear you. What?
Pardon me?
I could not hear you.
Before you ask the question, I apologize if we could just ask it through the chair so it doesn't. Thank you.
The original stage two documents, you do have a letter from the engineer of record.
Director?
We have a design team. That's correct.
Right. But I can tell you that they have not consulted the engineer of record in over a year. So they don't know about any changes whatsoever. And those are integral changes because that's going to change the entire engineering of the building. The fact of the matter is, putting all this aside, the fact of the matter is that as an elected body, you haven't done your homework, right? When we came out and told you you're not going to build these schools for that amount of money, the school committee did a peer review. Mr. Testa hid those documents. And when the documents finally came to light, we saw an additional $24 million just on the structural side. But the fact of the matter is, we were sold a product that we're not going to get. Ms. Danbrook and Ms. Gothberg and the school committee made three presentations and told us about the atriums and the 21st century learning and the outdoor spaces and the high ceilings and the air conditioning. We're not getting that. That's what you presented to the voters. And they're not going to get that now. So not only is that completely disingenuous, and by the way, let's not forget that during that time when they were promoting it, they violated state law and city law by putting political signs on state and city property that were relevant to pushing the schools forward. So everything they have done has been deceptive. And now the final deceptive point is a cost projection where fifth grade mathematics, every single line item contains errors. A cover letter where the senior project manager makes 100,000 square foot error. And you're saying that these schools are going to come in at $662 a square foot. I'm going to go on record to come back when they don't, to mock all of you, because it's not going to happen. Bare minimum, right now, schools are at 800 a square foot. Even the schools that are being value engineered, cost overruns. And once that shovel goes in the ground, guess what? That building does not stop. They're coming back to you people for more money. I'm watching this happen for 27 years. Nobody here has been on a school project start to finish in construction costs from first shovel in the ground to topping off. Not to mention commissioning. All these costs, by the way, the Alana cost, no furniture. No furniture. We're going to have the kids come in. We're going to be on concrete floors. No furniture. No rugs, no desks, no chairs, no computers, no tech. In the stage two report, that was an additional $14 million.
Mr. Cody, you hit the 10-minute mark.
Let me just close by saying this. It is incumbent upon the city council, as your fiduciary duty to your residents, to table this until such time as the numbers are solid and firm and the residents vote again on whatever these changes may be. You need to be fair to us, not just to. We all want new schools. I want new schools. I've been saying it for 6 years, 7 years. I was the first person to come up and scream at you people to build new schools. Remember? I said you can do it number of students times 200 square feet per student times $250 a square foot. You laughed at me. Remember? Now it's $800 a square foot or north of that. We need to crunch the numbers and present this to the voters again if it's one penny more than $350 million. Thank you.
Hi, Cynthia Cook, Namqua Drive.
Thank you.
Aren't I lucky to talk after Mr. Cody? Okay, first and foremost, I'm not against the schools. However, what the people voted for is not what they are going to get. Therefore, it should not be voted on tonight. The senior citizens, are the senior citizens getting that track that I heard about? I don't think so. Therefore, even the seniors vote. They voted because they liked that. They're not going to get it. The two buildings have been reduced by 50,000 square feet. Is that something the people who voted for on the bond issue, do they know that and understand it? Is it true that the city may switch to some non-union workers? Do the people know that? You, councilman, really going to try to eliminate air conditioning, even though Warwick schools closed this year on extremely hot days? What about all the other downgrades with materials, including things that won't last as what the original plan was? How many things on the list I saw that may be eliminated or downgraded from what was voted on? I've only named a few. Also, if you extend the bond payments to 30 years instead of 20, the children in the schools now will be burdened by the higher taxes and will not even be able to own their own homes. If you don't know the impact of the changes on the children who will attend, and you don't know the dollars that the millions of dollars that the 10 years will add to the cost, it's just not what the people voted for. If you don't know a lot of the answers to all the questions presented to you tonight, don't vote on it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, sir.
My neighbors, Jim Italiani. When my old school district needed two schools, and we were talking about equity back then, what we did is we built one state-of-the-art school and then had the students change schools every other year. That's how we worked that out. That saved a lot of money. The one thing we know for sure is that we don't know most every single fact related to this school. We don't know. You were talking about, we're going to get a 50-year bond. We're engineering these schools down to where they won't last, maybe 30 years. Wouldn't that just be lovely? So, and you listened, I think, to South Kingston, found themselves just a couple of days ago in the same predicament where the teardown cost for that school came. It was verified that it was only be $1.2 million. Now it is $5 million, folks. And by the way, did you know, according to Hennig, which is the biggest mutual bond broker in the United States, I believe that the average school in New England is about 28% over budget, folks. There's a good figure for us. Now, I'm not saying that's here. That's just in New England. So we know, again, that we don't know. The thing for sure is what was offered is not what we voters are getting. So therefore, my dear neighbors and my dear councilmen, my dear attorney and my dear mayor, it is not legal for you to vote and approve something that the people did not approve. Thank you.
Thank you. If I I'm sorry, one moment. Mr. President.
Thank you very much. As I discussed earlier this evening, we're going to pause the committee right now at this time. We have one other committee to conduct. You will be able to speak. We're going to pause. We're going to do this one committee. Then we're just going to pause until 7 o'clock. Then we will start up the full council meeting at 7 o'clock. Excuse me, everyone. So if you would like to speak and you haven't been able to speak, you will be able to speak on this subject. So I don't want anyone to think that you're not going to have an opportunity to speak. We've been going on for about since 5 o'clock here. So I'm going to ask the chairman if he could, and I'm going to ask Solicitor Walsh to get us the right way to get this to the, hold on one second, please. So at this time, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to request that you refer these two items to the full council with public comment.
I make a motion to pause. Correction, Solicitor, should I close the committee?
The Council President has requested that the two items remaining, PCR 9923 and PCR 123, be referred to the full council with public comment. So it would, if the committee were to vote that way, it would conclude the committee portion of the evening, and following the convening of the full council at 7 o'clock, the full council would continue the discussion with the public.
Thank you. Then I will put it to a motion. PCR 99-23, I move that it goes to move to the committee with public comment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. One more, Councilman. Next, PCR 100-23, a resolution authorizing the waiver of conditions on ARPA funds provided by the Warwick School Department in fiscal year 24 budget. An allocation of increased state aid to the education and school committee's account without a reduction of the $1 million ARPA contribution. I make a motion to move this to the council with discussion and open to public comment.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The time is now 6:41. The Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you. We have one item on public safety. If we could have that committee meet at this time, and then we will pause until 7 p.m.
Order at 6:43. We need silence in the chamber, please. The first order of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on September 6th. Do
so
we
moved.
Have a motion? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The claim, PCR 92-23, Julissa Ray's claim is, I'm making a motion to hold to 10-2-23 meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I think we have one more set of minutes from the September 6th meeting. I don't see them. We're all set. The committee closes at 6:44.
That concludes the committees for this evening. The full council will be convening promptly at 7 p.m.
Just one more announcement. So there is also public comments at Rule 41, which you can sign up to as well. However, that does not preclude you from speaking again when this comes before the full council. So you can speak at both times. There is a comment. You can speak on any item related to the city business. So there's two opportunities to speak. So you do not have to sign up for public comment to be heard on the schools. You can do both or neither. Thank you. We'll see you at 7 o'clock.